and welcome to the Metal Hammer podcast number 70. I'm here with Alice. How are you, Alice?
I'm good, thank you.
Hello. Sadly, Merle is not here today because he has man flu.
Yes.
Yeah, something like that. Get well soon, Merlin. We wish you all the best. In exciting news, though, the new issue of Metal Hammer starring Sabaton is out now. It has everything in it you could possibly wish to know about Sabaton. It comes with Avenged Sevenfold poster pack. There's Hell Yeah in there. There's loads of stuff about Rammstein. But more excitingly than that, even, we have some world-exclusive Sabaton Basel bundles featuring hand-signed lyric sheets, an exclusive patch, a sticker pack, a custom fold-out tank, and an exclusive Sabaton cover. Go to tinyurl.com/basel bundle to order now. Are you going to get one, Alice?
Yeah.
We need to build our tanks, don't we? So we can fight them. I really want to have some office tank battles. You, me, and Merlin when he's back. May the greatest fighter win. Well, we've been doing loads of stuff in the last week.
Yeah, loads.
I don't even know where to start.
No, I know.
I mean, I had a bit of time off. I wasn't on the podcast last week, but I went to see Whitechapel with Underside. That was really cool. I'd just go tell everyone to check out the last Whitechapel album because it's really heavy. If you've not heard it, it's quite emotionally heavy and just sounds super heavy as well. And they were like crushing. It was just an hour of crushingness, brutality, a lot of like slamming down. It was heavy, and Underside really cool as well. They really kind of made the most of their support slot, and yeah, go check out both bands, Underside and Whitechapel. Mm-hmm. I went to Metallica as well. You did not come, Alice, sadly.
Nope.
And Merlin went to Metallica as well.
Are you asleep, Alice? I was at Copenhagen.
You were. Do you want to talk about Copenhagen and then I'll talk about Metallica, or should I talk about Metallica first?
Talk about Metallica.
Okay. Well, it was at Twickenham Stadium, so it was a massive, massive stadium gig. And it was really weird because it was daylight, obviously, when we got there. So you kind of have this weird thing of going to see a metal gig in daylight, in the warm. And it was pretty cool to see the scale of it. I've only really been to see kind of pop bands at stadiums, so to see a metal band at a stadium was a pretty cool thing to do. First up were Bokassa, the band that Lars was from Metallica, obviously, has talked about quite a lot. And they're our new band this month as well. And they were decent enough. They were kind of, you know, got on, did their thing, went off again. It must be pretty hard to be the first support at Twickenham, at a massive, massive stadium. I imagine that's pretty mental. But yeah, that was a good warm-up gig. What else happened? Then it was Ghost! I thought you might react, Ellen. Do you like Ghost? I can't remember.
They're okay.
Yeah?
Meh.
Okay, well, I'm a fan of Ghost, and Mill's a fan of Ghost as well. He sent over a few notes. He said he thought Ghost were fun and seemed to get a decent reaction. It was interesting to see Tobias not change up his stage patter at all, despite it clearly being a very metal crowd. He was still flirty and daft. He was flirty and daft, Alice. I think, you know, Cardi C, as we like to call Cardinal Copier, this very flirty guy. It was pretty cool because he was wearing this red theatrical outfit, and again, in a massive, massive stadium and a massive stage, I think you really need to be wearing something that makes you stand out from the crowd, and his red outfit was pretty cool and pretty theatrical. And again, it's just such a massive stage. But they pulled out all the hits. Square Hammer sounded really great at the end. And it's really cool that they're at that place now where, you know, they can just get out on a tour with Metallica and just play a really good set. And a lot of people had clearly got there early to see Ghost as well and were going up to the front of the stage. They had like a snake pit area and two kind of aisles coming out from the stage where the band could go and walk down, and loads of fans were kind of all crowded around there and like reaching out to touch Papa and stuff. So it was pretty cool to see it on that scale. But then Metallica, the main event, and that was very exciting. They had beer cups that said "and beer for all" on them, so we were all enjoying a nice beer in the sunshine.
That was really cool,
which was very funny. And again, just the scale of it, like, they had so much pyro. There was just kind of this bit where they'd have, sort of quite early on, there were these two bits on the very, very top of the stage rigging, like these kind of two balloon type things with all the faces on from the last record, and they kind of inflated and then these flames came out. So it was kind of dramatic. Merlin had some thoughts on this as well. He said, "I thought Metallica were wicked fun and the set looked amazing." He said the pace was a bit off. He felt like Unforgiven was dropped a little too early after a ferocious start. But he was really excited that they played No Leaf Clover live. He was pretty excited. He didn't enjoy Frantic. It's quite a controversial thing to put Frantic into the set, because obviously a lot of people still hating on Frantic and St. Anger, but I'm really into that song, so I quite liked it. So yeah, he was just like shaking his head through that whole song, and I was singing along. And yeah, Moth Into Flame, that was really cool. They had like this big strip along the stage where this flame kind of came up and it travelled from one side of the strip to the other. There was no moth. I mean, you would think maybe they'd get a giant moth prop. Might be a bit too far. But they had this flame that kind of went up and down this long stretch, which was really cool. It was just kind of went on for the whole song, and it was just nice to see the pyro for that song, because it obviously goes with the title, and it was just really fun. They had everyone kind of go down the sides of the stage and play a few songs at the front as well, all together out there, and that was nice. And James Hetfield as well, he did this little speech in the middle that was really touching. It was kind of like him saying that he knows that big rock show tickets are really expensive, and so he really appreciated that everybody had set aside money to come and see Metallica and share the night with them. And that was really nice, because it is really expensive to go to Twickenham, but obviously it's really expensive to put on a massive fucking show as well. So that was very cool to see. And he also did this really, it was quite sweet, he sort of did this random thing where he asked how many people had bought Hardwired, and then kind of mentioned it as being a CD, and then kind of looked out at everyone and went, "Do people still listen to CDs? Is it something else now? Do you download it?" And that was kind of sweet as well, like, given the whole past that Metallica had with Napster and so on. I think probably, you know, he's just more concerned with getting up and playing songs no matter what the delivery is. But I mean, I guess one was a highlight. They really went out with the theatrics on one. They had fireworks coming out from the back of the stadium. They had the flames rising up again. They had animations on the screens. That was a super kind of, everyone knows that one is a big song, but again, on that scale and with that kind of production, it just looked insane. It was just super, super theatrical. That was really cool. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think some mixed feelings around Lauda, which is obviously what we call hammer, prog and classic rock as a group. Some mixed feelings from people. Some people don't like stadium gigs, weren't too fussed on it because it was so big. Merlin personally didn't enjoy Twickenham because he lives in North London. That's just him being a bit pathetic, really. I live in South London, so it's good for me. But yeah, I think with stadium gigs, you do have to have pyro and production, because you need to be able to see what's going on and feel engaged with it.
And there's the little ants.
Exactly. And it was kind of like this very clean stage setup. There was nothing really on the stage. It was just kind of white, and they're all dressed in black on it. So, you know, it was cool to see that. I enjoyed it. It was a good night out. Got to see Metallica in a big place. It was good.
Cool. Good.
Would you go see Metallica?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't really like stadium gigs either, because it's just too big. But like, if I'm on the floor and can get close enough, then it's fine. But if I was like right up seated, I don't think I'd be particularly bothered.
They had like a golden circle area where the snake pit was, where people could obviously pay a bit more and go down on the floor. And then they had the seated tickets as well. We were fairly near the front in terms of seating. So I don't quite know what the view was like from the back, but it didn't feel as big as I thought it would in Twickenham. It didn't feel as massive. It felt kind of okay. So, I don't know. I liked it.
It's good. I don't know. I guess I would go. But, yeah. I saw Metallica. I've only seen them once. I saw them at Sonosphere.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That was quite cool.
Well, you couldn't go anyway because you were at Copenhagen.
Exactly.
So why don't you tell us all about it? Because you've been like buzzing since you came back from Copenhagen. You've been like super excited.
It was amazing. Like super, super amazing. So it's a festival in Copenhagen, in Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
And it was their 10-year anniversary. So they had like, I guess they had things different from usual, but I think they sort of just were promoting it as, you know, 10 years in hell. And they had like special wristbands with like 10 years in hell and like beers and limited edition stuff like that were basically they remade stuff from their original.
Oh yeah, like reproduced.
Yeah,
it.
Reproduced.
That's
it,
really
that's the word.
Cool for their 10 years. So it actually felt even more special than just.
So you could get like the t-shirt that was the original one and like stuff like that. So that was really, really cool. They've got really, really cool logos as well. Like their brand Copenhagen is really, really, really good. So they have their merch table is just really cool. They've got everything. You can get fridges.
Hang on, you can get a fridge that says Copenhagen,
yes.
An actual fridge.
Yes.
An actual fridge.
And you
fridge.
Can win one as well.
What?
Okay. There's
so
fridges,
that's what I want to see
for washing machines.
Hang on.
It's just like loads of stuff. It was just crazy.
Were these actually on sale at the festival?
Yeah, yeah,
what,
yeah.
So you could just walk home with a washing
you
machine?
You could buy one, yeah.
What?
But you could also try and win one. I was tempted to try and win one, but then I forgot about it. But yeah, it was really cool.
Okay,
yeah.
So we want now our entire kitchens fitted out with like download Bloodstock Tech Fest etc. appliances.
It was so cool. they have lots of artists that do like sleep and like they had all sorts of different artists that do big bands. They make their merch, so like the Copenhagen merch, they've got like really cool like kind of psychedelic ones. They've got ones that look kind of death metal-y, ones that look kind of black metal-y, ones that look like thrashy, like because they've got all these different artists that collaborate with them to produce really, really cool t-shirts and stuff. And they've even got like pants and like boxes and like
wow.
All sorts of stuff that you can buy with Copenhagen.
So you can basically just go naked,
mm-hmm.
and then just clothe yourself in their merchandise.
And in our campsite as well, they had the washing machines. Because they're open hell, they would do free laundry service.
Right, I see.
So you could just go in like one pair of clothes, kit yourself out at the merch desk, and then just get everything washed. So it was really, really cool. I was really lucky because the organizer sort of we were his guests, so he like showed us around the entire place, and it just blew our minds. So you get in and. There's like three stages. All of them are really quite big. So you've got like the main stage, which is like Hades, I think, and then you've got a second stage, which is like Helvete, I think it was called. And then there's
like the record shop, like Norwegian record shop.
Yeah.
Black metal
scene. Yeah, like it all means hell. And then like then you've got Pandemonium is the third stage, the smallest stage, but it's still a big stage. So. And they're great because the way that it's laid out is the two are next to each other, but you can't hear them, like,
mm-hmm.
because they're right next to each other, like, the sound doesn't really travel around,
yeah.
You know?
And I was just doing this weird gesture with my hand now, which is, like, wiggling her arm around like a weird snake, trying to show me how they look.
So you have, like, the two of them, and then there's a massive hill as well behind, so you can just sit all up the hill and watch the band. So
nice.
You can view it from wherever. It's really,
really
cool.
Nice.
And then the smallest stage, there's like, it's really nice to not have like anything intense, or at least not the actual stage is intense, because there's nothing to like stop your view.
Yeah, and sometimes if a band plays in a tent at a festival, you can't get inside.
Yeah, so the third stage that had the smallest bands on, it was just really great because you still could see it from all different angles. And they even had like, a little bit that you could go up and sort of view it from like above the sort of some of the vendors, and if you paid for VIP you could go and do that as well for the third stage. And in the VIP area they'd made it really quirky, and VIP is called RIP, and they even had like a fortune teller there, which
did you get your fortune done?
I didn't. They also had a restaurant.
Oh, right, nice.
They had a little restaurant there, so you could have, like, a proper, like, sit-down meal with wine and everything. They were sponsored by quite a few different, like, a winery, who were really, really, really good. I had some of their red wine. It was so nice. Like, you wouldn't think that you get this as, a, like, at good stuff at a festival. They were also sponsored by a brewery, a local brewery. I think it's called, like, Royal or something. And they were really, really good beer as well. They had their own beer made, especially for the festival, like, in cans. So you could get it with this really cool wolf logo, which is kind of like their logo. And there was a giant wolf that apparently you could see when you're flying in from the airport.
Really?
Which is really, really cool. And they had this one special beer that was charcoal added, so it was black.
Oh, nice.
So it was a black beer.
Very metal.
Yeah, and they had a Viking area. So
nice.
You'd go into the Viking area and you could just kind of like live like a Viking, buy a drinking horn, get some mead, have some pork and a hog roast and all sorts of stuff like that. It was really, really cool. And then there's a beer garden, I think they called it. That was a tent, and it had just loads and loads of rows of benches, and you could stand on the tables.
Nice.
And dance, like, so late at night you could do that. And then there was a karaoke thing, but it was like with a live band, so you could just join in with that as well. There were just so many things. There was like a place where you could destroy cars to black metal.
What? Hang on. Destroy cars, like full-size cars.
So they'd bring in cars and they'd pay people for cars. This is the plan next year. We're going to take the car. We're going to take an old banger over there and sell it to them.
Right.
And then fund our festival booze with that. So you take your car, you can take a car, sell it to them, and then people will just smash it up and they're playing black metal and it's this one section and you can just... Yeah.
Support, smash it with like hammers and stuff.
Yeah, like you can sort of join in.
There's something like that in London called Scrap Club where they just get a bunch of old shit and smash it with like weapons.
You could do it at a festival and you had to kind of sign up for it and
that is a lot of fun. Did you do it?
No, we didn't. Oh. And then it closed because I think it was only on for like a certain length of time.
Yeah.
They also had alien weaponry played and they had this full scale Maori dance beforehand. Uh-huh. They had like this massive ritualistic like Maori thing going
Amazing.
On that you could kind of participate in. They had like a board game tent thing.
Wow.
They had it's just like everything you can imagine. They had like a big burning church, like a
what?
Black metal burning church that would smoke occasionally and had these giant druidic things outside of it. And
what?
It
Hang on.
That was by the wine bar and there was a giant upside down cross as well.
So what?
Flash.
It was a church like structure.
Yeah, a little church, like a sort of Nordic looking like
wow.
church that was painted black and it was smoking.
Wow.
I know. They had like a pentagram bar. Like the attention to detail was just amazing. Like all of the vendors there as well were really, really good food. Amazing food. You could even get fruit and healthy food.
Nice.
And juice as well.
Oh my gosh.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, because after
drinking.
A couple of days as well, if you've just had like loads and loads and loads of noodles, it's actually really nice to have some fruit.
Yeah, exactly. So it was just really, really good. And yeah, all the vendors had to change their names to something metal or satanic. So all of them had like black sort of signs with all just like demonic names.
That's amazing.
Like, yeah, so it's just like a whole sort of like, it was like being in hell. Like you know why it's Copenhagen, like 10 years in hell, because they've made it like this kind of like really cool metal place to go and you kind of want to just live there. It's like a little village.
Amazing.
And you can just kind of like, yeah, they should really have it for longer, like a week, you know.
How many people go to the festival?
I'm not sure, but it was completely sold out. I might have to check. I'm not really sure what there were a lot of people anyway. Huge amount of people. Not just Dutch people, obviously. Not Dutch. That was massive.
Danish.
So not just Danish people go. But we met a Swedish girl, a Norwegian. We met like loads of different people from all over. And they were like, you've come really, really far. And I was like, it's not that far. It's only like an hour and a half on the plane. But it was just really, really fun. Yeah,
that sounds great.
Would recommend.
Did you see any bands apart from Alien Weaponry?
Yes.
Who were the standouts?
So Slipknot played.
Nice.
And that was really, really good, to be fair.
Even like you prefer Stone Sour?
Yeah, it was really good. Like, I watched it from the side of the stage thing as well.
Oh,
like,
side stage marker.
It was like a side stage thing. It wasn't right by the side of the stage, but it was quite cool. And Tool were actually really good.
What did you? What was it like seeing Slipknot being kind of closer up to them? Did you notice anything about them, or does it look as mad as it does from when you see it kind of from a crowd? Does it look like unhinged, chaotic?
I don't know. It didn't look like mad. It just looked like, well, like the crowd is mad. I could see the whole crowd as well, so it's quite cool. It was like, could just witness this whole thing going off.
Yeah.
Which was really, really cool. I recorded some of it as well, like on my phone. It's really badly because it was dark, but it's just kind of, I tried to sort of get the sort of
the scale
of how many people were there. Tool was really good just because of the hill, the like the sound kind of like, it keeps the sound in. So it's got this kind of like, it's a really, really good sort of the first stage anyway. It's just, it's got this kind of like, I know, like, you know, like when you put your phone in the bath to like amplify the sound, it's kind of like that, I suppose. Because it was like, yeah, so it's kind of like in this little like bowl of like this hill and then the stage. And so it just, it's got this really nice atmosphere to it. So that was really, really cool. I saw Dimmu Borgir as well. They were really amazing live, like so good.
Yeah. I've not seen them on the current cycle because there's so much kind of more like choral music in there and it sounds really, really epic.
Yeah, like I'm not a big fan of the symphonic stuff, but live it was just really cool, and like just all the stage stuff, and just it just looked really epic and really cool. So that was really fun. It was just really great.
You had the best time in the world.
Yeah.
And literally the best time.
Yeah, it was just such a good place. It was really sad to come home.
You look like you're going to cry.
I know. It was like blue skies as well. Like leaving, it was all blue. And then we came back to Britain and it was all grey skies. And I was like, oh, why? Why, UK?
I was thinking about going to Copenhagen with you, but then I had a few things on. But now I feel sad I didn't go.
Yeah, so I would definitely recommend it.
Maybe next year's the time.
Yes. Save up and go. Well, it's in Denmark, so obviously that's a bit of a track, but it's
pretty close on the plane.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it.
Well, Alice, you also went to the Home of Metal exhibition yesterday.
I did.
So Home of Metal, for people who don't know, they had it a few years back. They had a big exhibition in Birmingham, and it was all about Birmingham being the home of metal and birthplace of Black Sabbath. And they had an exhibition that kind of showed you just kind of some like early artifacts from that time, like record sleeves, or they had a few bits and pieces from when Tony Iommi was actually like working in the factory, and early guitars and that kind of thing. They had this amazing thing which was like a little sensor on the wall, and as you walk past the sensor, it played "You Suffer But Why" because it's such a short song, and you just walk past it and it would just play it at you. That was really funny. And I went there a few years back to see it then, and that kind of had its run, and since then they've done a big Black Sabbath project where they've taken lots of photos of Black Sabbath fans, and they've kind of curated a new incarnation of Home of Metal, which you can tell us all about.
Yeah, they've gone like all out this time, because obviously it's 50 years since Black Sabbath.
Yeah. 50 years of metal, guys.
Yeah, 50 years of metal. So it's this huge, huge, like not just the Black Sabbath exhibition, which is just kind of epic. It's just on an epic scale of like all sorts of memorabilia there from the actual band members, quotes from other rock stars that were really, really influenced by them, fans, all sorts of people, like, and then fans like, for example, one of the members of Cathedral, he has this huge Black Sabbath vinyl collection that he's donated to it, and so it's got,
he's got
basically every album, so that's really, really cool to see, because he's obviously such a big fan. Loads of really cool stuff. There's just so much to see, really. But that wasn't just the only thing either. Like, so there's the Black Sabbath thing, but then there's also like all this other stuff that they're putting on in Birmingham as well. So they've got like this art showcase by Alan Kane. It's just this like four bed detached home of metal, it's called.
Oh wow.
So he's like recreated all sorts of people's bedrooms, like metal fans, which is really, really, really cool. So they've got like their collections and stuff like that. And then there's other sort of art. He's sort of curated this thing, so it's got all different art pieces in it. And there's like video art and all sorts of stuff. Anything that's sort of inspired by metal, and then just also just collections as well. So some people that's just like have a huge collection of memorabilia and they've kind of donated it there. Yeah, it's just all sorts of cool stuff like that. And then there's this project where they've been taking pictures of people's battle jackets as well.
Oh, like you do Patchwatch for the
time. Yeah. So then they've done that as well, and there's a whole like selection of those. There's this guy in California as well who's an artist, and he's made pieces for a lot of rock stars or in collaboration with rock stars, and he's actually created a jacket for one of the members of Mastodon.
Nice.
And his name's Ben Venom. I don't think it's his real name. but he was just sort of like, he was there telling us about his artwork, and he makes big textiles, like he's very inspired by like quilting, which is a very American thing really, but he uses metal t-shirts, so you can see like the logos of different bands, and also just metal, like stuff that's associated with metal, like denim and leather and camo and all these different like textures and fabrics, and he makes these great big pieces, and they've got sort of things to do with metal in them as well. So there's one that he's made that's like this great big skull and stuff, and just sort of iconography of very metal sort of things or quotes in them and all sorts of stuff like that. So that's really cool. And there's also a showcase of jewellery, and they're just absolutely stunning because obviously Birmingham is a huge metal industry, which is why metal is called metal. And like, so you've got the jewellery quarter in Birmingham, and people are still working with metal in Birmingham. It's a really, really big place to train to be a jewellery smith or something like that, someone that works with metal. So they've kind of taken that idea of metal, but also metal, the music, and it's jewellers that actually use metal in their work, like inspired by metal, so metalhead jewellers that make jewellery that have like skulls, or there's one woman that's inspired by black metal, so it's a lot of spikes and things like that.
That is very cool.
Yeah, so there's all sorts of stuff going on, and it's just really, really interesting. There's just loads of stuff to do, and they've got a gig going on as well with Neurosis headlining.
What is that?
Supersonic Festival, so that's in July 19th to the 21st.
Oh, so Neurosis are headlining Supersonic.
Yes.
Nice.
So that's going to be quite metal-y.
Who else is playing?
Godflesh. And Anna von Hauswolf.
Yeah.
So, and pigs as well.
I never know how you're meant to say that if you just go like times 10 or whatever.
No, they hate that.
Do they?
Yeah,
so you have to say that. So you have to say pigs loads of times.
Yeah, you can't say pigs times 7 because that's not allowed.
Okay. But there's 7 instances of pigs.
There's 7 pigs. Okay. So.
Well done for reading it out. I commend you. You literally had the best week in all of the time in the world. Yeah,
really
amazing.
Cool.
Very cool. You didn't even mention actually who you met yesterday.
Oh yes, I met Tony Iommi and Gisabella.
How was that?
That was really cool. Yeah, got to ask them a few questions and have a really unflattering picture with them.
I'm sure it's only unflattering in your mind.
No.
Well, moving on to news, unfortunately, there was some really sad news this week.
Yes.
We heard that Tenga Cavalry from My Nature G has died. The band released the following statement. They said, "It is with deep sadness and shock that we must share the news that Nature has passed away. Nature's greatest goal in life was to unite people of all backgrounds through community and through music. He was also an advocate for mental health, and encouraged everyone from friends to total strangers to persist through their struggles. Though we have lost a dear friend and a great artist, we know that his music will live on and continue to help us find our common ground and find our strength despite adversity. May the eternal blue sky find him at peace." So yeah, just super sad. If you haven't heard of Tenga Cavalry, they're a Mongolian metal band. Nature was based in New York, where he'd studied, and ran the band from there. And he was just a really cool guy who, like the statement said, just wanted to bring people together through music, and he played a lot of traditional folk instruments, and he just had a ton of enthusiasm for what he did and was always trying to push the boundaries and do cool stuff. So they played Carnegie Hall in New York, which is obviously a very famous place. And you know, he was very open on Facebook about everything he was doing and what he was going through, and all his social media, just kind of trying to share his experiences and bring people together. So it's just really, really sad that he's gone. So yeah, if you've not heard Tenga Cavalry, give him a listen. You know, that's his legacy, as it were. And it's just super sad.
Very sad.
In other news, there's a new Killswitch Engage track.
Also a new Korn one.
There is also a new Korn one. This is like a double hit. Which is your favourite out of Korn and Killswitch?
Korn.
Mine too.
Yeah.
And we agree on something.
Yeah.
That's unusual, isn't it? What do we think of the new Killswitch song?
I don't know. I don't like them.
Okay. I think it sounds pretty Killswitchy. That's kind of all I've got to say about it, really. It's cool, though. It comes from their 8th studio album, Atonement. The song's called Unleashed. And Atonement's out on August the 16th via Music for Nations. Well, maybe we should talk about the Korn song, then. What do you think about the Korn song?
I haven't actually listened to it.
Oh, Alice.
I know. I was working. It only just came out.
What's it called?
Today. Oh, my gosh. No, I don't know.
You socialed it and I retweeted it. No, none of us
know. I feel like one of them is called something. I don't want to say it out loud because otherwise I'm going to get it wrong and I'm going to look stupid because there are too many things in my head.
We should know what it's called. It is called...
It's not Unleashed, is it, or something? That's the album.
No, it's not. I think you're thinking about Killswitch now.
Oh, gosh. You'll never find
You've
me.
Had
from
too
album,
much fun.
Okay. Be nothing.
You'll never find me.
Yes.
Yeah. So, it's very corny. And... I just think it sounds quite old school and quite 90s. You've kind of got this like stabbing guitar coming in and sort of Korn feedback. It sounds like something, you know, sort of from the Issues days. And the lyrics as well, he's just kind of like, it's really sort of Jonathan Davis, who talks about darkness baiting him down the road to his own death, and talks about kind of being lost and you'll never find me. It's really, really Korn to me. It's just sort of like quintessential Korn. I really like the song, but it's also a hard listen. You know, Korn lyrics are always a hard listen, but particularly this one, given some of the things that got on in his life in the past year or so. He's had some hard losses, and I think it's a pretty raw listen, really, I would say. So, yeah, that's that. Anything to add?
No, I don't have anything, sorry, but... I'm sure it's great because I like Korn.
yeah, there we go. Korn and Killswitch, go listen to those.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's happened with Hellfest and Manowar?
Oh, yes. Well, there's an ongoing thing between them and they're having a bit of a argument.
Why?
Because Manowar... according to Hellfest, pulled out, even though they turned up to the festival and just left. And according to Manowar, they didn't have things in place for them to play, so they cancelled them and put up the thing on social media before they'd actually pulled out or anything. So they're both kind of having this whole, like, you know, tête-à-tête.
So we don't really know what's going on, apart from... They didn't play, basically.
Basically, and apparently they went to the festival, so something went on, and someone decided that they weren't playing.
Wow.
And I don't know who.
That's very strange.
Yes.
So, yeah, guess no one at Hellfest got to see Manowar.
No. So, Manowar have said to contact Hellfest in order to get refunds and stuff if they had come for Manowar, although... don't really know how you do that because
you just kind of go, oh yeah, but I'll prove I'm a massive fan or something.
Yeah,
because my collection of Manowar stuff.
Yeah, I don't really know because all the Hellfest goers could just be like, I bought this entire week ticket just to see Manowar and you didn't even play And Hellfest would be like, oh well, you saw loads of other bands, so bye.
Who knows? It's all kicking off. What I do know is that at Bloodstock later this year, you can see a band called Womanabore, which is half man and half women who dress... half women and half men who dress like women in the band. And they call themselves Womanabore. And they're like a semi-all-female tribute act to Manowar. So if you didn't see them at Hellfest, then go and see this Womanabore instead. Got men in skirts, so what do you want? Let's take some questions from our readers. Do you want to go first, Alice?
Okay. Sorry, I just put my sheet down.
Well.
aside from exclusive media events, what's the gig with the smallest turnout that you've been to? Did the bands have a good attitude? And that's by Kvelertak Fanatic.
Kvelertak Fanatic.
Kvelertak Fanatic. I was just reading, that was like a tongue twister.
It's quite hard. I think the V's make it really hard. I'm just trying to think back to some of the unsigned bands I saw back in the day. I started writing about music when I was at uni in Sheffield, and I saw some really small bands then. And I think I might have mentioned it on the podcast, but I used to just, I wrote for this magazine called Sandman, which is like a local Sheffield magazine. And they'd send around an email and you could just sign up to see bands. So sometimes they would send around that email and I would just sign up to see bands I'd never heard of. I'd just be like, I'll go review this. Mm. And one of the bands I signed up for ended up being these weird performance artists that scraped chairs across the stage and blew in to like the bum of like a baby doll. Like a, what, you know those dolls you get to children that are like a baby?
Mm.
That you can like feed or bathe or whatever. Yeah, they just had one of those and they were like breathing into its bum and stuff and like making weird noises and walking around the stage. I think there are probably about five people watching them. It's just some old men in the pub who happen to be there. So that's probably the smallest event.
Oh my god.
It was very weird.
That sounds awful.
Maybe not quite what you're looking for, Kvelertak Fanatic, but that one just springs to mind. How about you?
I don't really know. I've been to a few that I felt like haven't had a big turnout. I've been to a lot of Battle of the Bands back in the day,
sure.
Things like that, but I can't think specifically of one that's been a really, really bad turnout.
You kind of hype as well though with things like Battle of the Bands and local bands that people will come out to support their friends and the local scene as well. You kind of hope that it's not
going to
be really quiet.
Death metal gigs in Cardiff that had a really bad turnout. They were really good bands as well.
Can you remember any of the bands?
One was Cryptopsy and Jungle Rot.
It wasn't massively well attended.
No.
That's surprising.
It's just, I think, like, the venue and just Cardiff at the time, I think, really. It's just a bit of a shame. Like, there were quite a few ones like that in Cardiff. I think
go listen to those bands, give them a shout. Yeah, because they're, they're bands people have heard of. So
yeah.
It's kind of surprising. Okay, question from Dan Young. He says, realistically, what do you think are the chances of Rammstein headlining Download 2020? Well, Dan, it's interesting because Rammstein have announced some European 2020 dates for stadiums today.
Yes, they did.
So, and the only date near here is Belfast. There's like a Belfast date, but there's nothing in England.
Nothing in London?
No, nothing in England at all. Are they going to like France, Germany, Austria, the rest of Europe basically, and not coming to England?
Do you think they're having like a Brexit?
they go to Belfast, so so yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's a gap that they could easily slip into, a Download shaped gap, but also because they can do their own shows, you kind of think maybe if they were going to do Download, they do something really special. Like, do you remember when Download had that AC/DC day and they had their own stage and all that kind of thing? Like, I wonder if they just make something really special. But I don't know, like, I hope they do. We have to wait and see, won't we?
Mm-hmm.
We've got no inside information, Dan Young, I'm sorry. Alright, Dangerous Brian has a really good question. What is the best recipe for a kick-ass lentil soup?
Lentils.
Yes. Oh, lentils, that's a recipe.
I don't know. Lentils, I don't know, some
stock. Shove a bit of that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tomatoes, maybe.
Yeah. What about carrots or something? Would they
I guess you could just put in some vegetables.
I mean, I'm not a massive fan
of onions.
Lentil soup. I would always make
I think
tomato.
Maybe a sort of like one with coconut milk would be good. Like, put coconut milk.
That would
milk
be nice, yeah.
And lentils.
Creamy. Yeah.
And then, like,
coriander?
You know, yeah, like,
coriander
maybe some sort of, like, spices.
So you're going
I'd
for
go,
the sort
I'd
of,
go
like,
for, like, a Thai curry soup.
Right, I see what you mean, yeah.
Or something.
Or you could go for more of a dal vibe.
You could
sort of take it slightly more Indian.
Yeah.
Why don't you try some, Dangerous Brian, and send us some pictures and see what they're like so
yes
we can see and make them ourselves. Joe Walker asks, who's the more annoying type of fan? The gatekeeper that insists you can only be a fan if you like the band's earliest work, or the sycophant that insists you should always support the band regardless of how they change their style, and that not liking change makes you not a true fan? So basically,
mm-hmm,
who's more annoying? That's quite a long question. Who's more annoying? A person that only insists you can be a fan if you like the band's early work?
Mm-hmm.
Or another person who says you should always support the band regardless of how they change their style? So there's two, like, there's two annoying things people say. Like, oh, you can't like this band if you don't like their
early
work.
They're all annoying.
I mean, that's true. They are all annoying because really music's music and you should just
yeah,
be able
exactly
to like what you like.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, what's more annoying out of two types of annoying?
You know what is really annoying is when someone wears a band t-shirt and can't even name one album.
I mean, what if that's elitist? What if they just like the design or they want
that's
to get
disgusting
the band?
Disgusting. when you can, you know, name an album, just one even, just the one, then you can wear a t-shirt.
I mean, I totally get your point because I have had t-shirts given to me before and not known the band's work very well and been like, I can't wear that out because it
someone's
feels
like,
very...
quiz me on it.
Well, not even that, it just feels very disingenuous.
Yeah.
You have to actually know the band before you can wear the t-shirt.
Yes. It'd be super, super embarrassing as well if someone came up to you and started just like going, oh, I love that band too, and just like really, really excitedly just trying to talk to you about the band, and you're like, yeah.
Has it happened to you? Get
Has
on
that
our
happened to you?
Facebook
Are you
group
a poser?
What's that Facebook group? Facebook.com/MetalHammerReaders.
Yes.
Oh, I fucked it up. It's okay though. Get our readers group and answer all these important questions. Next week we've got more exciting things. Merlin, hopefully off his sick bed, is going to Glastonbury, hopefully not going to get stranded in mud or, you know, continue to be ill. There's loads of metal stuff going on there, so he's going to be our metal guy on the ground reporting on all the heavy shit, which is going to be great. If you haven't gone and got our issue, go pick it up. Sabaton on the cover, as we mentioned earlier, and we have an world exclusive Sabaton battle bundle featuring hand signed lyrics, an exclusive patch, a sticker pack, a custom fold-out tank, and an exclusive Sabaton cover. Go to tinyurl.com/battlebundle to order them now. And we're going to go make our tanks and fight them, right?
Yes.
It's going to be so good!
So good!
We will see you next week.
Bye!
Bye!